What is it that underlies anxiety and fear, panic, and that feeling that something is going to happen that we're not going to be able to handle? That feeling that we need to protect ourselves, jump into a hypervigilant mode so that we can survive. The root cause of anxiety is that life is not safe. We are evidence-based systems, so our brain develops based on our experience. Our thoughts and beliefs are formed through our experience. So for anybody who had a less than optimal childhood, their experience of that is going to be more severe. Human life is not certain. We know for sure that we're all going to die. We know that we are going to lose people that we care about. And we know that not everybody is kind. Human life, by its very nature, entails danger and risk, being hurt. And most of us have the capacity to be more resilient and stronger, to have better self-regulation so that we're not carried around and carried away by the storms of life. It's helpful to realize that our nervous system and our primitive brain developed in response to conditions that were prevalent hundreds and thousands of years ago. We really do need an update on our system in order to bring it up to modern life. The images that we see of violence and war and people being hurt and people screaming in terror or in trauma, we see thousands of those. Our ancestors would have seen only what was directly in front of their eyes. Our brains actually aren't built to process the level and the intensity of the media that we have coming in, the sensory input that we have coming in right now. So it's easy to understand how we get overwhelmed. Our nervous system evolved for different conditions than what we have now, and there are definitely things that we can do to help. The primitive brain really only cares about one thing, and that's that we survive. A few thousand years ago, or even a few hundred years ago perhaps, what that meant was that we had to protect ourselves from something leaping out from behind a bush to kill us. We all had ancestors that were hypervigilant. The ones who were not alert to danger didn't survive to pass on their genes. So we're this huge social experiment of all of these people whose nervous systems and whose brain really had one thing in common. They were pretty good at recognizing threat. In our modern culture, where the threats are extreme in terms of intensity, that we see these visual threats all the time, and also in terms of frequency, where we are bombarded with images of threat, and with news from around the world of all of these people that are in trouble, that are traumatized. We just don't have the hardware to deal with that. We have the prefrontal cortex, the more sophisticated part of the brain, but the primitive brain gets there first. And then we have the rational component to come in. And this has served us well over millennia, and many of us are hijacked by that system these days. The answer to that is to not only try to improve the quality of our life. One example could be that when we know that our child needs physical attention, we need a connection with our child that's physical. We hug them, we look at them, we see them, we pay attention to them. That our child needs that for their healthy brain development. Then that puts that up a little higher as a priority for us. And maybe we'll make sure that we put aside our phone or what we're doing when they get home and look them in the eye and tell them that we're happy to see them. And spend some time together, because we begin to understand how important that is. Abuse and neglect set the stage for a nervous system that's highly hypervigilant, where we don't trust other people, and we don't seek other people for comfort. We turn to Netflix or some kind of addiction. We get our emotional connection secondhand by watching it in movies or reading about it in books. And then we end up with this kind of a half-life. We're not very satisfied with life because we actually don't have the connections the human beings need. Connection and protection happened within a tribal system. It's a survival level threat if we don't feel like somebody has our back, if we don't feel like we'll be protected. And so often the people who are supposed to be protecting us, our parents or our caregivers, extended family, are the ones that are hurting us. And that's even more devastating. These conditions set up momentum in the body, the mind. We begin to hold our breath, we're breathing more shallowly, we might be codependent, we're trying to get our protection by over-pleasing. And what happens with children is that they begin to develop beliefs about themselves We have an experience, for instance, of not being loved or not feeling loved. Maybe our parents are just too busy, or maybe there's mental illness or something else that's going on. Parents aren't able to really connect with us, and we develop a belief that we're not lovable, that there's something really wrong with us. And then that belief carries on into childhood. It really affects our whole life. So the work that we're doing around the root causes of anxiety is actually fairly simple. Human beings are meant to connect. Our brains develop best if we have a safe environment where there is threat, perhaps, but there is also care and protection. And if we don't have that, then we tend to be hypervigilant for danger. We don't want to be blindsided by something dangerous, so we overcompensate. We overprotect ourselves against harm from other people. And our nervous system just can't handle that level of threat all the time. And so then we start to get into situations of really major stress. Our body says no, like in Dr. Gabor Mate's book. The body says no, and it breaks down into some kind of illness. It could be that we don't have the energy to do anything other than watch TV when we get home at night, that our relationships start to suffer because we're just not very connected with people anymore. Or maybe we have a serious illness like cancer or diabetes. Our body is not able to handle life, and it's becoming very evident that something has to change. In the course, we'll work with how anxiety shows up in the body, how we can use the breath as a bilingual interpreter so that we can see when it is that anxiety is rising, and what kind of breathing habits and patterns and practices can we do to calm ourselves down. Once we understand the root cause of anxiety, that forms a basis for everything else that we're going to work with in the course. It's very understandable that we're frustrated and impatient, that we just really want this to go away. We want our body to be fixed. And so part of what we're going to be working with is having kindness and compassion for ourselves. Even if we hate the experience that we're having, can we have some kindness for ourselves? There is another course called It's Not Rocket Science, Working with Thoughts and Emotions. It's a free course, and I highly recommend watching the videos on there. That will really give you a good understanding of the basics of how this works in our body, how our thought works, how the feelings and emotions work in our body. And then continue on for this course. We're going to get into some practical, proven solutions.